morning. Today's scripture is found in Galatians 5, 13 through 26. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you lead by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath. Are you tired of me already? Huh? Because I'm just about to start right now. So please abide with me, since today is a special Sabbath. I don't know if you know, but today is the Global Youth Day. And the church worldwide is celebrating the youth. And it's, some say that it's not about the youth, but about serving others, using the youth to serve the community and to show everyone our love for Jesus. So today, I'm preaching about the fruit of the Spirit, but I'm speaking especially for you guys. So I'm going to ask you to focus today, to concentrate, and try to listen God's word talking especially to you in this morning. Before we go into our sermon, please, let's have this prayer. Father, we praise your name. We thank you for the opportunity of coming together as a church to study your word. Please be with us as we read, as we try to understand, and please fill us with your Holy Spirit. Please make a reality the fruit of your Spirit in our lives as Christians, that we can show everywhere we go that we believe in you, that we love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think I have 50 minutes. That's a challenge, but I'll try to do my best. First of all, the fruit of the Spirit. We've been studying for 9 weeks now. Actually, this is the sermon that was supposed to be for last Sabbath, but for some reason I couldn't preach last Sabbath, so that's why I'm bringing up this sermon today. But Kevin was talking about walking in the Spirit, right? That's a result of us as Christians having the Holy Spirit in us and then bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We are walking with God because we have a close relationship with Him. Christ's call in one's life is to bear fruit. And I don't know if you remember, was it my first sermon here, I think? I was preaching about Luke chapter 13. I was preaching about judgment, because that's the first part of the passage. And the second part of the passage, I was preaching about the parable of the fig tree, when that Jesus is talking that the owner of the vineyard come and finds this fig tree that's supposed to be bearing fruit and doesn't have anything. And he was like, just cut it. So what happens when we as Christians don't bear fruit? the fruit of the Spirit. We're in danger. If we read Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 to 23, I'm going to ask you to go with me to that verse. We're going to find a very interesting scripture where says the following. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, 22, and 23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." In other words, the one who bears the fruit of the Spirit is the one who's going to make it to heaven. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" It's very easy to be a Christian, and it's very easy to have an appearance of a pure Christian, and it's really easy to come to church every Sabbath and give our tithe and offering and do things. But for us to really have the Holy Spirit and to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's necessary that we really have a relationship and that we know the one we're serving. Not that we just do the things because that's a tradition in my family. I come to church because my mom and my dad brings me to church, or because I'm a third generation Adventist, but because we know the God that we serve. Something really important in this sermon is to notice that when the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, it's talking about just one fruit. Is it plural or is it singular? It's singular. It says the fruit of the Spirit. Often in times, we think that when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, we can have one without having another. I can love my neighbor without having faith in God. It doesn't work that way. Think about an orange. You have an orange. When you peel the orange, and when you separate the orange in separate pieces, it's still an orange, right? But it's separated. So the fruit of the Spirit is just one fruit that have different components, different parts. But for you to have it, you need to have all of them or nothing. The fruit of the Spirit is found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, when it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, temperance. Against such, there is no law." The initial baptism of infilling of the Holy Spirit is vital. However, we must not stop there. The believer must continue to walk in the Spirit. We must daily be filled anew with the Spirit and yield our life to his prompting, allowing him to bring forth fruit all the days of our life. I'm going to take you back again to the sermon where I was preaching about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, saying that we have to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when? Every day, daily. It's not something that you get once, and then after you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you just walk away and you will forever be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's something that you have to walk with God every day. When you wake up and you pray and you open your Bible and you hear his voice and you're infilled with his Holy Spirit throughout the day. And then, I don't know what happens, probably while you're sleeping, you just have a hole somewhere in your body and the Holy Spirit goes out, and then you have to wake up again and then ask for the Holy Spirit. I don't know why, but it's something that we have to do daily, every day. When we receive the infilling of the Spirit by faith, we receive Christ. And this is very close to what the first part of the fruit of the Spirit is. When we read that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and we're going to go there in a moment. When we receive the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we receive Christ. When we have faith in Christ, when we receive Jesus, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord, we're receiving Christ. And we believe that God is three in one. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we receive Jesus the Son, it's not possible to just receive Jesus. We have to also have God the Father. And we need also the Holy Spirit. Other ways, what I'm saying is that when we receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit by faith, we receive God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And in the Bible, we find a text that says, God is love. What is God? Love. And the first component, the first part of the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. If you have God, you have love. And if you have love, which is the first part of the fruit of the Spirit, you have the rest of them. Now, when God says, when Paul is talking here about love, he's talking very specifically about certain type of love. We know that the Bible mentions several type of love, right? Love agape, which is God's love. Love eros, which is another type of love that I don't want to talk about right now. And there's like two more. There's philios. Is that how you pronounce it? Philios. And I forgot the other one. Well, when Paul talks about agape love, he's talking about loving your enemy. And if we go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, we were in Matthew 7. Now we can go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. It says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." If I ask you one more time, do you have the fruit of the Spirit? You will say yes, probably. I will say yes, probably. If I ask you, do you love that neighbor that once did something so bad to you that you still have that inside, deep in your heart, and you can't forgive that neighbor? Do you have the fruit of the Spirit? When Jesus says, "I say to you, love your enemies," he's talking about his own love. The love that he has for us, that even when we sin against him and we become his enemies, he came to die for us on the cross. And he didn't die he physically died, but when he says that Jesus died for us, he died because he was paying for our sins. And I was telling that to Barbara while we were practicing. She was showing me a couple of magazines that she gets on her mail. And I was reading a section on one of the magazines. I was like, you know what? This is exactly what I was planning to say in my sermon. So I'm just going to grab it. I have that right here so I can read it to you. Jesus died the second death on the cross. When Romans says, "For the wages of sin is death," that death is not the physical death that we go through. Actually, that's a blessing. That death is because God loves us. Do you know that we die because God loves us? Now, can you imagine, like, if we get sick? I know some of you probably have gone through cancer or another sickness that is really painful and has overcome and is here. Can you imagine having cancer eternally and you're not able to die and having that pain, that suffering? Or Jesus would say, like, no, you can wait until I come back. 6,000 years later, people still suffering from something in the beginning. I mean, God loves us, allowing us to die. But that's not the death. When Romans says that the wages of sin is death, that's not the death he's talking about. He's talking about the second death from the one that there's no resurrection from. Jesus died to save us from our sins. We will be resurrected after dying a natural death, but there is no resurrection after the second death. The second death is being cast into hellfire after the millennium. And you can read Revelation and find more information. We can have a conversation if you need more information about it too. But let's go back to our fruit of the Spirit, which is love. 1 or 2 weeks ago, I was upstairs with the youth, and Alex brought a theme that really called my attention, and it's like really interesting. Does God love the devil? Does God love the devil? He does. And because he loves him, he's going to destroy him with sin, because sin has been, we're being witnesses of what he is doing. But because God loves us and loves him too, and God doesn't want him to turn into even something worse. So he's going to destroy him, sadly. But yes, Bible says God is love. And the moment that God doesn't love someone or something, what happened to him? It doesn't make sense. It's not true what the Bible says. So God is love. He loves each and every one of us. And that agape love is the first part of the fruit of the Spirit, which we have. We need to have in order to have the rest. Do we have that agape love? Do we love our enemy? Are we willing to sacrifice ourselves? Probably not to the point until we die for someone that did something bad for us. I don't know. But do we really have that unselfish love for our neighbor? The second fruit of the Spirit is joy. Going back to Galatians chapter 5. Joy. What is joy? Would you say? I mean, sometimes I come to church, and I'm not judging anyone, but I look at some faces and I see them so sad and depressed, and I'm like, do they really have the joy of the Lord? Like, what is separating you from that happiness, that joy that comes from heaven when you have the fruit of the Spirit? Nothing should separate us from God. I mean, I really love that part on War Room, that movie, really good movie about prayer, where the girl comes out and talks to the devil. You know what? My happiness doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from my husband. It doesn't come from my friends. My happiness comes from Jesus. My joy comes from Jesus. There's nothing that can separate us from that love, from that joy. Sometimes we're depressed, or we have anxiety, or we're going through sadness and depression. I don't know. We have to pray and ask God to fill us with his Holy Spirit so we can have that joy, because that's the fruit of the Spirit. And we've been praying for 9 weeks now in our triads. We've been praying for the whole church. It's not possible for you to be without the Spirit right now. Everybody has to be infilled with the Holy Spirit right now. The fruit of the Spirit also talks about peace, and it refers to harmony among individuals, being able to fellowship and work together for Christ without dissension. Do we have that peace? Or do we have the mental peace that is the result of having God, having love, the first part of the fruit of the Spirit? If we don't have it, it's time to pray and receive that part of the fruit of the Spirit. Another part of the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Do we think before we talk? I usually don't. And I get in trouble with my wife when I don't. or I get in trouble with you when I don't. Do we think before we act? When we have this part of the fruit of the Spirit, we are enabled to refrain from acting or talking or even thinking without thinking in the consequences of our actions and words. And so when I keep reading and I keep studying and I keep seeing the definition of every part of it, and when I see the lesson that every part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit has for me, I am filled with joy because, oh man, this is all I need to be a successful Christian. I don't need anything else. I have God. God is love. I have joy. I have peace. I have long-suffering. I mean, we could just have the closing prayer and walk out right now. But there's more to it. So, wait a little bit. Kindness. Are you a kind person? Do you love your neighbor? Do you sometimes give food to the poor people, to the ones that are in need? Have anyone come to you, a brother from church, needing something, probably money or something, I don't know. Or probably needs you to go to the hospital to take care for one night because someone is in the hospital and doesn't have a relative to take care of. Are we kind? And the next one, do we have goodness? Do we have goodness toward our brothers and sisters, toward our family? And then it comes a strong one, faith. Faith is a totally separate theme that I could have a sermon on, but it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. I mean, there's no such, I know people that they do good things, they go out and help the poor, and they're really, really recognized and acknowledged in their community because they do good things. They're not Christians. Is that having the fruit of the Spirit? It can't be. You need to have faith in God, in Jesus, in the Holy Spirit. And once you have that, you are a successful Christian. The last one, temperance, I don't know how to pronounce that word. Temperance. Self-control, people. This ice cream is so good. Here you're preaching. I love ice cream too. This ice cream is so good. I wish I could eat the whole gallon, but just a scoop. Self-control in simple things in life will help us to determine if we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is impossible for us, and we said this before, it is impossible for us to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit by ourselves, like together. Like, I'm going to get the fruit of the Holy Spirit today. I'm going to go out and be good, and I'm going to have self-control, and I'm going to be joyful, and it doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. It has to be through God. When we pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when we are infilled with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit comes and fills us, and we have the fruit. And we won't need to say, hey, I have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Can you see it? No, because it doesn't work that way either. Others will see it because we'll be doing so much. We'll be doing good things for others. We won't be thinking about ourselves. And then the rest of the world will identify the fruit of the Spirit living in us. Now, I want to talk about the youth specifically. How can you be a youth or a kid or a boy or a girl filled with the Holy Spirit? How can the adults see the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us? Let's look at Samuel's story. First, I'm going to ask a youth to come up and read a little bit of that story, but before, I'm going to give you some details. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. First, verse 11. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child," who was the child? Samuel. "The child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest." Interesting, it says, the child. Verse 18, same chapter, chapter 2, verse 18. "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a line of thought." Even as a what? It doesn't say a youth. Let me clarify. It doesn't say even as a youth. It says as a child. So child, they're right here, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. If you or your parents or the church don't consider you a youth, this sermon is also for you. Samuel was a child while he served the Lord. Same chapter, verse 21. "And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the child, Samuel, grew before the Lord." How it says? The child, Samuel. Last time, verse 26, same chapter. "And the child, Samuel, grew in stature and in favor, both with the Lord and men." It is very clear that the Lord is saying something important because he's constantly repeating it. Samuel was a child, and he was serving the Lord. And we know the story, but I want to ask someone, Zach, come up, and go with us to Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. And let's see this part of his story.
"Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here I am.' So he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' And he said, 'I did not call. Lie down again.' And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' He answered, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you did call me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears."
Thank you, Zach. It's very interesting to notice that the first verse says, "the boy Samuel," again. Samuel was a boy when God called him to serve him. Samuel was a boy when he heard God's voice and decided to serve him. He was a youth, he was a boy, he was a child when he was infilled with the Holy Spirit and he was bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Is it possible for us to hear God's voice audibly today? It is possible. It doesn't mean that it has to happen. Is it possible for us as young to serve God from our heart? Yes, it is. And how do I know that? Because the Bible tells us that. It's interesting to notice that when God was calling Samuel, he had never heard God's voice. was young. And he thought Eli was calling him. Okay, I'm going to where Eli is. Hey, Eli, are you calling me? No, I'm not calling you. I hear a voice. Well, go back and lay down. I'm not calling you. While I was studying, I read that Eli thought that if God wanted to talk once again, he had to talk to him because he was the priest. And he was the boss, the spiritual boss at the moment. But God didn't talk to me, Eli. God talked to Samuel, the boy that was serving, because he wanted to serve the Lord. Now I wanna ask to you, do you want to serve the Lord this morning? And I'm not talking just for the youth in this part, but for the whole congregation. Do you want to serve the Lord? He's willing to give us his Holy Spirit, to fill us with the fruit of the Spirit. And it doesn't matter if you're a child, if you're a boy, a girl, if you're young, if you're old, we can hear his voice. We can be filled with his Holy Spirit. We can be good in his service. Today is the day that God is calling us to bear his fruit, to have all the part of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter the circumstances we're going through, this is the moment to serve the Lord. Today, I want to do something special. I want to ask all of the youth and kids here to come up front. We're going to have a prayer of dedication, of consecration to the Lord. I'm going to ask also the elders to come up and lay hands on them. And we're going to have a special prayer so the Lord can bless us. And the Lord can bless the youth in this church. And that we can continually have our youth serving the Lord. That they can become leaders in his eyes, in his service. And they can truly have the fruit of the Spirit. Right? Okay, guys, come on. Don't be shy.
Up here versus what is left. It's amazing to see our youth, our kids, and it is, I guess, probably one of the greatest honors that there is to be able to pray for them. So as I pray, I would ask that each one of you do the same, that the Holy Spirit will truly fill not just us old people, but the youth of our church, the young people of our church, the energy of our church. So if you would please bow your heads with me. Dear Father, thank you so much for these young people that are here before you right now. The strength and the courage that they bring, the energy that they bring to our church and the life. But, dear Father, they, like we, need more of you. So right now, dear Father, I ask that in a very special way, that your Holy Spirit will come down and fill each one. Dear Father, may this church truly be a shining example, a light on this hill for this community, that these young people will lead the fight that you have instilled in their hearts, that each one of us together with them will strive to serve you in a better way, that the fruits of the Spirit will be poured out through the Holy Spirit into us, that when we meet the people of this community, that they will not see us, but they will see the works that you have brought to us and through us. Dear Father, this morning, we just ask again that your Holy Spirit be poured out like it hasn't been, like we have not seen, that your strength will be in us, that we can finish the work that you have for us. The desire of our heart, Lord, is to be home with you. May these young people lead us to that. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone. You can go back to your seats. If you haven't blessed the youth today, if you haven't told them God bless you, happy Youth Day, at the end, please come closer, give them a hug, and probably a little word of encouragement. And let's work for our youth because they're the future of our church. They're the next generation to serve the Lord. And we have to equip men and prepare them to be good leaders and good servants. After the closing song, we're going to be dismissed. Thank you very much and God bless you.
Oh, hello. If you all could please stand with me. I know you all know this song. Let's sing it out.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we hopelessly hearts always hunger for.